College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
Your guys' show starting is the beginning of a new era.
So glad you guys are able to team up together for the afternoon show.
All right, well, we navigated that pretty well. I was worried. I'm always worried. Yeah, that's my bit.
My bit is good vibes.
I think those are good vibes, babe.
Who would dare interrupt me during my midday bath? Yeah. Oh, that's the Spiegel and Holmes show.
I might swerve in that corner.
Whoa. See Matt Spiegel over there.
We love the Coach Spiegs.
Are you noticing that?
Well, I will tell you, Spiegs, if you've noticed it, I've noticed it.
Lawrence Holmes, put a star on it.
I have the driver in my bag. Today's a day for the driver.
Now watch this drive. Nice one, Lawrence.
How will we handle?
Greg Council joining us.
All right, that was fun.
Nico Horner.
It's good to be back. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has.
Missed your voice.
Oh, that's nice.
See,
you were supposed to follow that up with
Mr. Musk.
Picked off by Jalen Johnson.
Jalen, this is Lawrence Holmes. Jalen, are you muted?
He's muted.
Bringing your rookiness to me, Lawrence.
That's on me, man. That's on me.
Forget about it, cut.
Bob Costas.
Matt, thank you very much. And Lawrence, stop dominating the conversation the way you have over the last several minutes, really.
Joe Buck.
This is a one-way relationship. I don't think I've ever asked anything of Matt. I think the last time I was in this imbalanced of a relationship,
yeah.
I married her.
Hey, man.
I don't care who they put on. Joe Buck's on, I turn the sound down.
Holy shit. Chicago.
Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Lawrence, everything's fine. Matt, everything's fine. Tanny, everything's fine.
It's like doing radio, right? You're only as good as your teammates. So, you know, Tanny comes in and he's a magician with his sound. And then you guys come on and your guys' team is great there. That's why your show is good. Football's like that, too. You can't be good by yourself.
I mean, goosebumps.
Hell?
Let's kick off this show with a bang.
I mean, let's go.
It is the Spiegel and Holmes show. No Spiegel today. A little under the weather. No Holmes yet. He'll be here at 5 o'clock live from Las Vegas. I am Rami Makhlouf filling in for both those guys for the time being. And I am live from the Hyundai Score Studios. I, of course, have executive producer Alex Kuhn on the other side of the glass and master of sound Chris Tannehill over there as well. And it's a commercial-free first hour here on the Spiegel and Holmes show. I feel like I'm doing FM music radio. A commercial-free hour for you here on The Score on a Thursday afternoon. But no, it's not music. What that commercial-free hour means is I got time to talk to you at 312-644-6767. If you want to get in on the show, you can shoot me a text. You can give me a call or a couple ways that you can get in on the conversation this afternoon until, again, we talk with Lawrence Holmes coming up at 5 o'clock. We got hard-hitting Bears questions for you coming up at 4 o'clock. We'll also talk with the lone White Sox all-star Shane Smith coming up in that 4 o'clock hour as well, 4:25 to be exact. So plenty to get to, including, like I said, your calls, your texts this entire first hour at 312-644-6767. Lawrence is in Vegas, and like I said, he'll be here at 5. It's 108 degrees in Vegas right now. Did Lawrence, Tandy, Alex, did Lawrence choose to go to Vegas at this time of year, or was he sent there for work? Was this Lawrence's decision? Because I have no interest in being in Las Vegas in 108 degrees.
Well, you probably figured it out. You've been here long enough. Now you know Lawrence loves sports.
Yes.
More than
yes.
any of us, actually.
Yes.
So
yes.
He loves it so much that he's willing to go watch the Summer League in 108 degree weather. And I think it's mostly because of the Summer League that it's heated up so much out there in Vegas. I mean, it's scorching hot basketball play.
And he loves sports so much that he's going back to Vegas next week for Big Ten Media Day. So the guy just doesn't stop working.
Because he was hoping it was actually going to be hotter next week. So he thought, let's give it another shot.
It's going to be 115 next week. They're having a cool spell. It's down to 108.
God bless him. You're right. He does love sports more than any of us, and he is very, very committed. So I hope he gets what he's looking for out there in the summer league. I hope Modest puts on a show. Modest and them put on a show out there in the summer league for Lawrence Holmes and everybody else who's going to have an eye on that thing and who's suffering through 108 degrees right now in Las Vegas. We'll check in with Lawrence, see how sweaty he is coming up at 5 o'clock. But like I said, want to hear from you in this first hour, 312-644-6767, talking some Cubs here in this first hour, and a big win. I'm going to go ahead and call it a big win. I know they're 17 games over 500, 16 games over 500 coming into today and sitting in first place in the NL Central, but I kind of, and I've said this a few times this year, where even though the Cubs are very good and they've been in first place pretty much from the starting line, when they go on these little mini slumps or skids, it's not a losing streak. A streak is three games or more. They lost two in a row to the Twins after taking the series to the Cardinals. But there's just been a couple times where, if not for the standings, if not for what I'm looking at out on the field, just for my psyche and my own mental well-being, my mental health, I kind of needed a win today after the way that the first two games went in Minnesota. Cubs win 8-1 today. Lots of good things to take out of this. PCA doing PCA things with two home runs in this one in the second inning, and then another one in the seventh. Colin Ray continues to shock and impress us all with seven innings pitched today. Three hits, one earned run, struck out five, and walked two. Maybe the biggest thing in that win today, though, was, and again, this is a very good offense. That's obvious. They've been first or second in runs scored and just about any offensive metric or category that you can talk about. They've been one or two in most of them all season long, but they really, really struggled with runners in scoring position in the first two games of this series. I was watching the game on Marquee, and I think I'm just going off. I was making and eating an egg white omelet while they were having this discussion, so notes were not at hand. Just full disclosure, it was delicious. I had a little avocado in it, some onions, some peppers, some spinach. It was great and quite nutritious as well. But I believe the numbers that they said were, the Cubs were 1-for-9 with runners that score in scoring position in the first two games of this series. And to that point in the game, this was about the seventh inning, they were 6-of-8 today. So that feels really good to see that, and to sort of see the top and the middle of this Cubs lineup kind of wake up in this series after being pretty dormant in the first couple games of the series. You had three hits from Suzuki, as I mentioned, the two home runs, three hits from Crow Armstrong. Dansby got one of those RBIs with the runner in scoring position. He was 2-for-5 on the day. Kyle Tucker chipped in with a hit as well. Michael Bush with a hit and a couple RBI in his homecoming to Minneapolis. So it was good to see the middle of the lineup sort of wake up and drive in those runs and start to come through with runners in scoring position, especially Dansby Swanson. That's been a real thorn in his side, especially here recently, but really all season long. He's sort of struggled with runners in scoring position. I thought Boog and JD made a good point on the broadcast today on Marquee when they were talking about this runners in scoring position issue that the Cubs have been having recently, and it's popped up a few times throughout the season, and they were saying in those numbers I was just talking about, going 1-for-9 in the first two games of the series with runners in scoring position, and then 6-of-8 in this game with runners in scoring position, the more concerning number is the 9, that they only had 9 runners in scoring position over the course of two games. That's more of a concern than the 1, and that they only came up big in one of those situations. And Boog made a real good point. He said, if you look at the top 8 or 9 teams in runs scored in any given year, 5 or 6 of them are going to be at or near the top of the leaderboard in runners left on base, because you have to create as many opportunities as you possibly can with runners in scoring position. And if you do that frequently enough, and the Cubs have done that a lot this year, that's how they've been able to score runs, there are going to be situations where you don't come up with the hit. and you leave those guys out there. So that makes a lot of sense when you think about it and you start to do all the math. And it kind of calmed me down about the recent struggles that they've had with runners in scoring position, specifically in the first two games of this series. But like I was saying, I really needed this win. 312-644-6767. If you want to talk about it and get in on the show, shoot me a call or give me a text. Rami Makhlouf in for Spiegel and Holmes this afternoon. The other real bright spot in this, again, outside of PCA, because how much can we talk about this guy? And the fact that he just keeps getting the job done in every way possible. Again, two home runs, 25 on the season now. He's got, 70 RBI on the season now. It's remarkable. And I don't know how much more you can say about what PCA is doing. And quite frankly, we've almost come to expect it. I think a lot of people were. Hell, Jed Hoyer and Craig Counsell were surprised by the pop that this dude has shown, the power, the slug that he's shown with the bat this year. I didn't think that was going to be a big part of his game. But at this point, that, along with everything else that he does well, running the bases, playing as good a center field, really as good a defense as anybody at any position in Major League Baseball right now, we've almost come to expect it. And that maybe we shouldn't do that and take that for granted, but I've almost come to expect Pete Crow Armstrong to perform at this level. This is just who this dude is at this point. But a guy who continues to shock me and surprise me, and I got to thank you out there as well, at 312-644-6767. Man, Colin Ray, and they needed this from Colin Ray today. Really, they need this in general with the state of the starting rotation as it stands right now, at least until hopefully reinforcements arrive between now and the trade deadline. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Again, you want to get in on that conversation, 312-644-6767. But getting seven innings and just one run, three hits, walked just two, and really being sort of a stabilizing force, sort of dominant today, but really his role has sort of just been a stabilizer in this rotation. And what that means, the ripple effect of that in terms of just your starting rotation, but then taking the pressure and the workload off of your bullpen. Keller worked an inning after Ray was pulled, just giving up one hit, and then Palencia did what we've sort of come to expect him to do, which is close out the game. Not a save situation, but perfect inning for Palencia. Three up, three down, and he strikes out two. Colin Ray, I don't know that enough can be said about this guy and how much he's meant to this staff, the pitching staff, and the Cubs as a whole. If you don't have Colin Ray in that rotation and in that role that he's played sort of this season, where he was in the bullpen for a little bit, has bounced up into the rotation, I don't know that the Cubs are where they are. Again, it's real easy to talk about Pete Crow Armstrong and the All-Star Matthew Boyd and Kyle Tucker and all these guys who get the headlines. Recently, people have been talking a lot about Michael Bush and Seiya Suzuki as they were perceived All-Star snubs. And look, man, those guys deserve all the talk, all the chatter, all the credit for where this Cubs team is right now, 17 games over 500. But I really don't know where this baseball team is right now without a Colin Ray and what he's been able to do and what he's meant for this starting rotation and for that bullpen to, like I said, just be that stabilizing force. It's been incredible, and a credit to him, a credit to Tommy Hotovy and the entire Cubs pitching development program. They seem to have tapped into something with that dude and with a number of dudes in this rotation. But, man, Colin Ray has just been an absolute lifesaver for this Cubs team right now. Didn't get a chance to hear from Cubs manager Craig Counsell in the postgame show. It was abbreviated. Zach and the guys had to hit the road. It was getaway day as they head from Minneapolis to New York tomorrow to take on the Yankees. So we wanted to bring you a little bit of Craig Counsell and his postgame press conference. This is after the Cubs knock off the Twins today, 8-1 in Minneapolis.
With Pete, it just seems like he's had so many of these games where he just breaks out the extra base hits. Just what have you seen from just the consistency of where if he has a couple games where maybe things aren't going his way offensively?
Yeah, I mean, look, like Pete's swinging, and so that means, well, though he did walk today, which is against a guy that never walks anybody, which was cool. But he's going to swing and the ball is going to be in play. So you're going to have to deal with some of that. Like, can't hit a home run every at bat, can't hit every at bat. But he can impact a game. And that's what we saw today is that, you know, he impacts a game in a huge way. Just stay right where he is and, you know that you're going to, you know, the other guy's trying to get you out and you're going to have a couple days like that from time to time. But kind of be the guy that drives the bus the next day.
How would you describe what you've been getting from Colin Ray?
Yeah, I mean, I think Colin's been awesome. I mean, we talk about in good seasons, you need some, I don't want to call this a surprise, but you need guys to step up. And Colin has, with some injuries that we've had, has stepped up in a big way. He's had 92 innings now in the first half of this, and, you know, through whatever 90-ish games, and he's done exactly what we hoped he would do, and that's been solid and consistent. And last two starts have been excellent. You know, both into the seventh inning. So, you know, it's what we hoped we got from Colin Ray, and you know, the thing about Colin is he usually delivers what you want, and he's doing exactly that. Yeah, I mean, I think we're in good shape for tomorrow. I think we were in good shape regardless. But it, seven innings from your starter helps no matter what. So with you kind of thinking about this as a three-game season almost, with your pitching usage, not to just don't overreact to that comment, but three-game season with pitching usage, it puts us in good shape for the weekend.
So yeah, how's it been in a Michelle Russ two-game that if you got on base three times?
Yeah, well, say it's one that bat really good yesterday. He had some line drives, got caught yesterday, but yeah, he had good at bats today, solid at bats today, he didn't homer today, which he usually does if Pete does, but so I'm a little disappointed there. But other than that, a good day.
You said it was a couple quiet nights here the last 2 days, but you know, your club, so it was in the middle of July. There hasn't been that, like, extended down period.
Yeah.
Why do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good baseball team. You know, that's just – there's nothing else more to it. It's a good baseball team that does that, that doesn't let you get – the nature of the schedule is you're going to get beat some days and some guys are going to make you have quiet days. But you don't let it linger, and you come out the next day and kind of erase it and not let it carry over to the next day. And I think good teams do that. Good offenses do that. And our group has been really good at that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who's starting for you tomorrow?
I don't know yet, actually. We actually got to talk about that, so I should be more prepared there. Sorry.
There's Craig Counsell after the 8-1 win over the Minnesota Twins. I've been caught there a few times, Craig. Don't worry about it. Where I looked around, I was like, I should have been more prepared. Probably should have been more prepared for this. But was the question? I didn't hear the question. I don't know if Alex or Tanny heard.
It's who's starting tomorrow in New York.
That's what I thought it was. Yeah, they have not. They have, and neither team has named their starter for tomorrow yet. So we'll see if that's announced between now and 6 o'clock. We'll get that to you here.
I don't know yet, actually. We actually got to talk about that, so I should be more prepared there. Sorry.
That's okay, Craig. Don't worry about it. Not one bit. He said he wasn't, like, he stopped himself from saying, you know, he's surprised by Colin Ray's performance. He said, I shouldn't say surprised. No, man. It's okay. It's okay to say you're surprised. I think we're all surprised by Colin Ray and what he's been able to go out there and do. especially today with seven innings of one run baseball. It's pretty remarkable what they've been able to get out of this guy. And again, like I said, I don't know where you are as the Cubs if not for a Colin Ray and the steadying 7-3 now with a 3.91 ERA as a guy who was signed here not really having a role. He was brought in here and they told him you'll probably start at some point this season, but we're gonna start you out in the bullpen and you'll sort of be our long guy. And obviously the injuries have hit and things have transpired that sort of pushed him into that rotation, and he's just run with it, man. And I don't think you should stop yourself from saying that you're surprised from the performance that this guy has given you. 312-644-6767. Again, commercial free 3 o'clock hour here on Spiegel and Holmes. Rami in for Spiegel and Holmes. Lawrence will be here from Vegas coming up at 5 o'clock, but that leaves time for me to talk to you at 312-644-6767. Leadoff man will be Justin in Joliet here on the show. Justin, you're on the score on the Spiegel and Holmes show. What you got, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, Rami? Yeah, we all know the Cubs need to trade for starting pitching help, but I would like to see if they can pick up a third baseman with some pop. I know it's not fantasy baseball, but I'd like to see if Jed Hoyer can, you know, make a splash and maybe get an Eugenio Suarez or an Austin Riley.
I don't hate that idea, and I don't know that doesn't mean that I'm giving up or that the Cubs are giving up on Matt Shaw unless he's, you know, one of the guys in the package that's going to get one of those two guys. But yeah, I mean, you do got to start to think about that third base position. I was planning on getting into this a little later in the show, but since you brought it up, it's been pretty and the glove has been great. I should start there. I should start with the positive and point out that the glove has been outstanding. And Craig Counsell has talked about the fact that in a lot of cases, or at least on a few occasions, I should say, that's kind of been what's kept him in the lineup. When you might look at a guy who's struggling to the extent that Shaw has struggled, but then you look at the glove and you go, okay, we can afford to have him out there because of the glove that he brings. I also think your options factor into that as well. If you had a bat that wasn't, you know, Birdie or one of these other guys, Bruheim, that they have coming off the bench to play third base, you might not consider the glove as strongly as you do. But the glove has been fantastic. We got to give him credit for the defense, and that's something that he worked on after making the move from shortstop to third base. So got to give him credit for that. But and did he have a hit today? Let me go and check the box score real quick, because he came into today with a five-game hitless streak, and now it's extended to six as I pull it up, and he was 0-3 today. So a six-game hitless streak for Matt Shaw now and running, and he was 1-7. So let me do the quick math here. He's now 1-8 or one hit in his last eight games on top of the five-game hitless streak. And those are both small sample sizes. This number I'm about to hit you with, not a small sample size, not in the least. In his last 70 at-bats, Matt Shaw, coming into today, was hitting 144. And again, I'm not saying I'm giving up on Matt Shaw, any hope that he'll ever be the player that the Cubs had hoped and told us that he would be when they drafted him and brought him up through the system, eventually calling him up to the big leagues. I'm not saying that's not going to happen, but I just don't know that I can keep waiting for that to happen this season. This thing is close, man. This thing is tight. And I know it's felt real good and real fun, and for a minute they're even comfortable if you're watching the standings and you're a Cubs fan. But this thing is real tight right now. Despite being 17 games over 500, because the Brewers just won't die, they just will not go away. And those of you not familiar with me, maybe haven't heard me say this on the station before, I do live in Milwaukee. Don't worry, one of you. Born and raised in Chicago, lifelong Cubs, Bears, Bulls fan. All right, I'm not coming to you from behind enemy lines. And I also do some work for our sister station, The Fan, up in Milwaukee. So I follow that Brewers team, and they just keep getting better, man. They just keep on getting better and keep on nipping at the Cubs' heels now. Two games back. They're off today, so the Cubs can breathe and sit on that two-game lead for the next 24 hours or so. But they're just two games back and have been the hottest team in baseball since the last week in May. They're not going anywhere anytime soon. And so, yeah, I do think that you have to look at you have to look at everything. You have to look at every single place that you can be better. But you really have to look at third base, because there's nowhere else where you can, you know, sort of swap somebody out. You're pretty set at the other eight position players / DH in your lineup on a day-to-day basis. That's the one place where you can sort of upgrade this offense. And once again, this offense has been really, really good. But when they do struggle, when they go through these little mini slumps and stretches where they do struggle as an offense, you can almost always, and this was the problem last year, point to the bottom portion of the lineup. The production at catcher has fizzled a little bit, still pretty good, but it's fizzled a little bit since Miguel Amaya went down and Carson Kelly came back down to earth. Nico Horner heating up here, but Matt Shaw, man, again, has not been good now for quite a long time after coming back up from the minors and hitting the ball a little bit. He's been struggling, and there are going to be times where some combination of Happ and Tucker and Suzuki and Armstrong and Bush and Swanson, some combination of two or three of those guys is going to hit a slump, a mini slump, something like that. And when that happens, you need other parts of the lineup to pick it up. And that was why this offense was so good. They're still pretty good, but that's part of the reason why this offense was so good at the beginning of this year, because of how good the bottom portion of the order was. So when those guys at the top and the middle struggled, they were picked up by the bottom portion of the order. And that has just not been the case as often as it was early in the year. So, yeah, I do think that looking at third base is something that Jed Hoyer and the Cubs can be doing and should be doing. 312-644-6767. Back out to the phones. John in Indiana, you're on the Score. What's up, John?
Yeah, quickie on PCA. I coached off and on for a number of years. Watch his top hand when the camera gives a close-up. I know today's not the day to say this, but when he undercuts the ball, which he more often than not strikes out underneath, because his top hand is too over the top on the bat handle. He don't have the bat in his fingers. He's got that batting glove buried into his hand, into the bat handle, and he can't roll that top wrist over like he should to get on top of the ball. Okay, you watch. Matter of fact, go back to replays of old Ernie Banks days.
Johnny,
yeah,
you watched the game today, right?
Yeah.
He had two home runs.
I said that. Okay. I know that. So, I know that. But look at the number of times he's striking out, too.
He strikes out a lot.
Watch his top hand. That's what I'm talking about. Ernie Banks, watch his old replays, how he used to play the piano with his top hand. That made sure he had the fingers around the bat, not his palm. That's item one. Item two, have Craig think about taking Happ off leadoff. He's got something like 3 hits and 50 at-bats, and you're talking about having people on base for Tucker and the rest of them. Happ's got to go down in the lineup, and you got to bring up Nico Horner. He's a born leadoff man to get on base. He's not a home run hitter. He's a contact man. He should be batting first and not Ian Happ.
Johnny, okay? I appreciate the call, man. Thanks for dialing us up. The second point, you might have something there. And not permanently, but until Ian Happ heats back up. Yeah, and because Nico Horner has heated up here recently, I'd think about maybe swapping those guys. I don't know how Ian Happ would feel about that. Like it's not so bad or so serious an issue that I want to move Happ down there against his will, or if he's not feeling great about that move, then I keep him right there. I don't want to. It's not worth rocking the boat. But if Craig Counsell approached Ian Happ and said, "Hey, What do you think about me swapping you with Nico, or moving you down in the order and leading off Nico and until you get things going again? And Ian Happ was like, yeah, sure, no problem, Skip. Then fine. I'm totally fine with that. John, I'm sure you were a very good coach.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I also am pretty sure PCA does not need your advice. I'm just gonna go out on that limb and say I think he's doing all right. I think his 560 slug and 25 home runs. Yeah, he strikes out a bit. He got a walk today, by the way. Counts mentioned that he walked against a guy who doesn't walk very very many batters. But as far as the swing and the bat, hey, if PCA starts struggling and goes back to his form that, you know, he had the first, I don't know, two-thirds of his rookie year last year, call me back, John, and tell me about the top hand. I think the top hand.
Yeah, but
is,
did you watch it? Did you watch the game? Did you see the top hand?
I did, Danny. I saw it. And again, if he struggles, call me back, John. Call back call back the Spiegel and Holmes show, even if I'm not here, and talk about that, and we'll really break it down with you. Right now, though, I think he's doing all right. 312-644-6767. Did want to talk some trade deadline with you, and you can get in on the show before we ask some pressing, hot Bears questions coming up for you at 4 o'clock. I was looking today, and I've been following this, over at The Athletic. They have their trade deadline big board that they keep updating, and it's the top 40 players on the market as July 31st approaches. And I've, in the last couple of weeks, I've talked with Bob Nightingale and John Heyman, both very, very accomplished, tenured baseball writers. Here, I was on Mully and Haw earlier this week when I talked with John Heyman, and I was on the evening show last week when I talked with Bob Nightingale, and Bob said he sees this very much as a seller's trade deadline, that buyers are going to have to pay a hefty price for starting pitching or anything else as we approach the deadline. And when I was on with Mully on Monday morning, talking with John Heyman of USA Today, and he kind of said the same thing. Here's John Heyman earlier this week on Mully and Haw.
You know, the problem really is the number of good starting pitchers who are going to be available is very, very limited, and the number of teams that need starting pitching is very, very high. The Yankees, certainly with Clark Schmidt, presumably being out for the year now, they need to get a starting pitcher. I think that almost every contending team is going to need and go for a starting pitcher. Maybe not the Phillies. They have pretty good starting pitching depth, and they're hoping Nola's back. You know, I think just the competition is keen, and you're going to have to overpay to get a Mitch Keller.
So both Heyman and, as I said, Gleeman, they both think that you're gonna have to pay a hefty price, as hefty a price as you'll ever have to pay at the trade deadline to go and get one of these starting pitchers. And I know you're always going to have to pay a high price for starting pitching, and every team that's in contention is in the market for starting pitching and or relief pitching, and usually it's both. But I also think that there are a lot of teams that expected to contend this year, and I brought this up with Grody when I was filling in on this very show a couple weeks ago. There are plenty of teams that expected to contend this year who aren't, and who have quality players on their roster, and if they're not sellers now, they will be soon. And they bring this up in this big board that I was just talking about that they have over at The Athletic, sort of tracking who are the buyers, who are the sellers, who are the major players that might hit the market. And they point out that now They've been focusing on teams whose playoff odds, according to Fangraphs, have dipped to below 30%. That's a bigger group now than it was a few weeks back, which puts a few high-profile names on that list. And quite honestly, I think that... Now, look, man, John Heyman, he talks to people in front offices. Yeah, I'm just going off what I'm seeing and what I've seen in the past when it comes to trade deadlines and who are the buyers and who are the sellers. But I'm looking all over Major League Baseball, and they talk in this article about the AL Central and the fact that the middle of the AL Central has fallen way, way behind the Detroit Tigers, including the Twins, who the Cubs saw today. You got the Royals, the Twins, and the Guardians, who all have, again, quality players on their roster who probably will not be in any sort of playoff contention. Maybe the wild card, but certainly not for the division between now and the trade deadline. You can look at the AL East and the Boston Red Sox and the Orioles, even the Rays, who are over 500 and solidly in the wild card race, four games back in that division. The Marlins have some players. The Braves have some players that teams in the playoff hunt would like to nab. The Cardinals have some players on their roster that teams would be interested in should they hit the trade deadline. The Diamondbacks, another team. And when you look at this big board that they put out over there at The Athletic, man, if you're the Cubs, and like I said, this kind of describes a lot of the teams that will be buyers at the trade deadline. But looking at the top 10 on this big board at The Athletic, it's loaded right now. And this is 3 weeks before the trade deadline. It is loaded with guys that the Cubs could use, that would come in here and immediately make them a better baseball team and improve their chances of winning a World Series. Now, at the top of the list is Jarren Duran, outfielder for the Red Sox. I think they're set at outfield. I think they're pretty good at outfield. But then after that, you got Alex Bregman, third baseman for the Red Sox. Cubs fans familiar because we all wanted the Cubs to sign him this past offseason. Seth Lugo, the starting pitcher for the Royals. Emmanuel Clase of the Guardians, their closer, one of the best closers in this league. And I know Palencia has been really, really good. Does that mean you don't try to upgrade or add to that bullpen? Whether it's pushing Palencia back or Clase comes here and plays a different high leverage role, whatever the case might be, that's a guy who should be on your radar. Sandy Alcantara from the Marlins, who has been talked about extensively here. You got Griffin Jacks, the starting pitcher or the relief pitcher for the Minnesota Twins, who we just saw. Both of the Arizona Diamondbacks starting pitchers, Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly. All these guys are in the top 10 on this big board, this trade deadline big board over at The Athletic, and all guys who are at positions that could help the Cubs. And one, and this goes back to the caller who called before about Matt Shaw and whether they need to be looking at third base. If you can swing something for Eugenio Suarez, do it. That bat in that lineup and at third base for this Cubs team, that makes you real, real potent. That makes you... Now, the Dodgers are going to be the team in the National League that people are going to point to and pick to come out of the National League, but that puts you right on their heels when you're talking about lineup construction and the quality and the depth of this roster. And listening to Jed Hoyer, and this was on the Northside Territory podcast that The Athletic puts out, listening to Jed Hoyer, it sounds like he might agree with me that as we get closer to this deadline and activity picks up, there'll be more deals and maybe more opportunities for teams like the Cubs.
Really, the minute the draft is over now, the trade conversations really pick up. I spent the last couple of days of the All-Star break last year at Cooperstown with one of my sons, and you know, my phone is ringing off the hook. There's a lot of conversations going on, but feels more exploratory than about to get things done. In general, I guess to sort of educate the listeners, you know, the way it usually works is like people are always say they're willing to move early, but then normally the early price is really exorbitant, and therefore you end up kind of moving into closer to the deadline is usually how it works. So my expectation is that the deals will get done in the handful of days before July 31st, but you it doesn't mean you don't try to make deals and try to be active in advance. You never want to take for granted where you are right now. I mean, I think that's ultimately the one thing that we know is where we are. But also, you know, you can't buy with no restrictions and then say we're going to do whatever, because you know that can be really damaging. So I think the biggest thing right now is sort of pushing our staff is be creative and come up with a lot of different ideas.
And I'm honestly, I've gotten a little impatient, especially with the Brewers nipping at the Cubs' heels and been like, why aren't they doing something now? Why aren't they making a move now? But given what I just said and what Jed is talked about right there, I think the measured approach of waiting for the market to sort of come back to you might be the way to go. Now, Tanny and Alex were telling me before the break, I hadn't seen this rumor that the Brewers, who are right on the Cubs' heels, are one of the teams rumored to be interested in Alex Bregman. Should the Red Sox put him on the trading block? That would sting, especially if the Brewers came back and won this division with Alex Bregman playing a big role after the Cubs essentially passed on him in the offseason and came up fourth in the bidding. That would really, really sting. And in what's been a great year for Jed Hoyer in a contract year, that would be a mark against Jed Hoyer. Although, I guess he's just working with whatever the Ricketts give him to work with. So I don't know how much we put that on Jed, but that would really stink. But as much as I am a little bit weary of this race and the Brewers and how close they've been to the Cubs in this race, I still think the measured approach and waiting for the seller market to grow, because I think it is going to grow, which then brings down the price on some of these guys that I was just talking about here. I think that's the way to go, because even if, and man, I hate to say this, but even if you're somehow looking up at the Brewers in the standings by the All-Star break or by the trade deadline, I wouldn't let that speed you up as far as the front office, because I'd still feel pretty good about my chances of taking this division, even if you were a game or two behind the Brewers at the deadline or at the All-Star break. And also, and Jed touched on this a couple weeks ago when he was talking to the media, you're making moves to win World Series. You're not making moves to necessarily get into the playoffs. It's not always a good idea to make moves just to get into the playoffs. You often are paying a hefty price to just go there and lose. You should be making moves because you look at your roster and you go, all right, we are an October baseball team. What do we got to do? What's the one or two pieces that we got to add that really put us in the conversation or put us over the top in the conversation of World Series contenders? That's how you should be looking at this. And so, yeah, I hear the footsteps of the Brewers, and they've been real, real good. And yeah, I look at this trade market as it sits now and that big board that I just went through, and a lot of tempting names on there and guys that I would like to see the Cubs go and get. And if they did it today at the right price, great. But I would hate for you to go and do it today and then either somebody pops up on the market who's even better and would be an even better option at that position, or you look back and you go, yeah, we maybe paid a little too much based on some of the deals that are happening now and after the seller's market widened a little bit. So I'm good with the measured approach that Jed Hoyer was talking about right there. I don't know about you.
312-644-6767. If you want to get in on the conversation, you can shoot me a call or give me a text. Lawrence will be here at 5 from blazing hot Vegas, 108 degrees. Atlas check out there. So we'll talk with Lawrence. He'll drive the show for the last hour from 5 until 6. I'm Robbie Maklouf in for Lawrence and for Spiegel, and we got hard-hitting Bears questions for you right after this. It's the Spiegel and Holmes show right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Oh, real quick before the break, keep listening to our show all this week for your chance to win a pair of tickets to Baseball After Dark at Wildfire in Glenview on Wednesday, July 23rd, featuring special guest Michael Bush and hosted by our very own Matt Spiegel. Baseball After Dark is presented by Huntington Bank. Life is a masterpiece. Make your money story a bestseller, and by Wildfire. Join Wildfire restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating wonderful memories. Be caller 6 to 312-540-0670. That's 312-540-0670. When you hear this,
Spiegel guy.
And you can have your chance to win tickets to go see Baseball After Dark with Matt Spiegel and Michael Bush at Wildfire in Glenview on Wednesday, July 23rd. We'll hit a quick break. On the other side, hard-hitting Bears question for you on the Spiegel and Holmes show right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.